The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he.' And 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end will not follow immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your mind not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For our confirmation students who are taking notes this morning, if you got the points of Laura's children's sermon, you can write those down. Okay? We're talking about exactly the same thing here. And she made them all brilliantly in about 3 or 4 minutes, but I'm going to give another crack at it. In the church year, we divide up time into seasons that aren't quite the same as the calendar year. And so in the church year, our year begins with Advent, which starts 4 Sundays before Christmas, which most of you, if you've listened to commercials on the television and been in any retail store, knows that's coming up pretty soon. And I tell you when the church year begins so that if you're not familiar with what we call the liturgical year, you will understand that during these weeks, which are near the end of the liturgical year, the appointed Bible readings often point us toward the topic of end things, toward the end of time, or the fulfillment of the kingdom, or the day of the Lord, or all of the other types of language that the Bible uses for those final days, the end of time. Now, some think of it as an end of the world, and certainly during those early years of Christianity, many Christians were convinced that Jesus would be coming back very soon. Many of them thought that Jesus would be back and the whole kingdom of heaven would break loose before any of them died. And so that's where our text from 2 Thessalonians comes in, the one that you may have heard misquoted so many times about "let the person who doesn't work not eat." Well, what Paul was talking about there was the Christians were so eager to see Jesus come back that many of them just stopped doing everything, stopped working, stopped planting seeds, and just sat around and waited for Jesus to come back. And Paul said, you know, we don't know when he's coming back. He said he doesn't know when he's coming back. Even the Father knows, but nobody's going to know ahead of time. And so that's the context for those verses. Get up. Get on with life. Jesus is coming back, but it might not be tomorrow. We might have to wait a while. And so we have this gospel reading from Luke chapter 21. And we are in that season that talks about end time things. But I want to make absolutely clear to each of you today that Jesus did not speak these words to the disciples to scare them. He spoke them to give them comfort and context. He spoke to them while he was in Jerusalem in the last week of his life. He knows this is the last week of his life, and he's preparing them for what is to come. So when Christians use this lesson out of context to try to scare other Christians, or when Christians use this text out of context to scare non-believers, they're missing every single word that Jesus spoke to them in his earthly ministry. Because Jesus wasn't about scaring people into salvation. He was about loving people into the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, there's just so much significant good news. I haven't really done this before in a sermon, but I'm going to give you cliff notes on the Gospel of Luke. And if you have a pen or pencil and a piece of paper and you want to jot down key words as they come flying by, I think you'll be blessed by it. All right? Because the entire context of the Gospel of Luke is what Jesus taught the disciples and lived with the disciples before we get to chapter 21. So here we go. Chapter 1, the Holy Spirit arrives. Luke is written by Luke. And the second half of the book of Luke is Acts. And Acts is all about the works of the Holy Spirit among the early church. So it's no surprise. The Holy Spirit shows up in chapter 1 and keeps showing up throughout Luke. Luke is the only gospel to start out with an elderly barren couple visited by an angel, much like Abraham and Sarah, being told they would conceive a child. A child to herald the coming Messiah. A child filled with the Holy Spirit. Impossible good news. But it takes us back to the Old Testament. It reminds us of God's Old Testament promises. Then an angel visits young Mary, fills her up with the Holy Spirit, and gives her even more miraculous news of an even greater birth to come. More impossibly good news given to a lowly woman, young woman, of no earthly status. Mary responds by singing about scattering the proud and God seating hungry people at a banquet table and about God remembering the promises he made so long ago. And the baby is born, and the good news is given to the lowly shepherds first. The whole heaven heavenly choir of angels sings, but they sing to the lowest people who can't go into temples. And when the baby's old enough to talk, his parents forget him at the temple. The same temple Jesus is speaking at in Luke 21 here, where Jesus is talking to the disciples in today's gospel. Back then, when he was 12 years old, he called it his father's house. That's where he was supposed to be, at his father's house. Then the baby from chapter 1, all grown up, baptizes the baby from chapter 2. Also all grown up. And John announces that Jesus is here to ignite the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit descends like a dove from heaven, and God's voice announces the arrival of his beloved Son, ready to begin his ministry. Then Jesus is tested by the devil, left out in the wilderness, but led there by the Spirit. When he gets back from his testing, he goes to his hometown church and makes his first adult proclamation. Again, from Isaiah, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And immediately he went out and he started healing people and calling disciples. And everybody he calls drops everything they're doing and they follow him. And he heals more people. And he touches icky lepers. And he forgives sins. And he argues with religious leaders. And he breaks Sabbath rules from the Old Testament to feed people. And he argues with more religious leaders. And he teaches the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor and the hungry and the mourning and those who are downcast. But woe to you who have it all now. And he teaches some more about loving your enemies and not judging people and building on a solid foundation. And then he healed some more. And when people started wondering who he was, he said, "Listen to this." He said, "Go tell John what you have seen and what you have heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them." Again, straight out of the prophet Isaiah. And the people said, "Hey, we've heard those words before. I wonder, could this be the Messiah?" And he forgave some more sins, and he got his feet washed and perfumed and argued with more religious leaders. He told stories about God being bigger than we can imagine. And he used images like light and seeds and lamps. He shut down a terrible storm at sea, told the wind to knock it off, and it did. He shoved demons out of a man and into a herd of pigs, who then ran over a cliff. He raised a child from the dead. And then he healed some more. Gave authority to his disciples to preach and teach and heal. And while he was doing that, he told them to keep it simple. You don't need much stuff to do great stuff. Oh, and then, to prove it, he fed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. He taught his disciples in private, told them things they wouldn't understand until much later, told them about his own suffering and theirs, and told them not to run away from suffering, because God would be with them in their suffering. Then he taught some more and healed some more and sent the disciples to go out and practice ministry again. He said they'd be going out like lambs among wolves, but to take nothing other than the peace of Christ. If the peace wasn't given in return, that portion of peace stayed with the disciples. Religious leaders tried to trip him up when he said, "Love God, love neighbor." So he told the story of the Good Samaritan. And he introduced us to Mary and Martha, told us Mary, who sat at his feet and learned from Jesus, chose the better part. He taught them about the Lord's Prayer, daily bread, forgiving and being forgiven. He taught them to ask, seek, and knock. He cast out another demon and again told the Pharisees they were frauds and they had it all wrong. He told the disciples not to get contaminated by the Pharisees, not to be threatened by religious bullies. So the Pharisees went into a rage and started to get serious about entrapping him with God's law. He told stories and parables about greedy farmers and masters coming back, and not to worry about earthly needs, but be ready to answer to God. There will be a day of judgment, but it's not going to be defined by the Pharisees and legal loophole finders. The day of judgment will be defined by God. Then the Pharisees, who claimed only to believe in God's law, started to collude with King Herod, the non-Jewish Roman leader of the government. So Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath and made them absolutely furious. He told more stories and told the disciples to be generous, especially to people that society had shunned. And in that context, told the stories of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal, the crooked manager. The point being that God sees the lost, and God sees behind appearances. Jesus had more words with the Pharisees, who used legality as a cover for being unloving. Told them that was a sin. Told them about the rich man and the poor beggar Lazarus. And by now you can only guess who comes out ahead in that story. He told them about the power of the faith the size of a mustard seed. The Pharisees grilled Jesus then about when the kingdom of God was going to come, and Jesus said it will come just like in the day of Noah or the day of Lot, when everybody was going about their own business, getting ahead with their own earthly goals and forgetting about God. He told them his death would be soon. There was a persistent widow, a repentant tax man, and another arrogant Pharisee. The Pharisee prayed in gratitude that he was not a sinner like that guy. And Jesus said, "Pharisee, you missed the point again." People were bringing children to Jesus, and even the disciples who'd been with Jesus all this time tried to stop them. And Jesus said, "It is the uncomplicated faith of a child that marks the reality of the kingdom of God." He healed a blind man, welcomed a tax man, the sinner Zacchaeus, told them again about the master returning. And then they were at the gate to the city of Jerusalem, and he was running out of teaching time. This was the last week of Jesus' life. The crowds threw a great Palm Sunday parade and shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And the Pharisees were outraged They were beside themselves. They shouted at Jesus to make those people quit shouting Hosanna. But Jesus said, if these people are quiet, the stones are going to shout. And while he was in Jerusalem, he chased the money changers out of the temple, those who were using the temple worship for personal financial gain got bounced out. From there on, he taught in the temple each day. Then the religious authorities, not just the Pharisees, but also the high priests and scholars and all the others, demanded to see his credentials. The Sadducees were even trying to trip him up. And just before today's text comes up in chapter 21, Jesus is teaching in the temple. The same temple his parents left him in when he was 12. The temple he called his father's house. Jesus is teaching in the temple and he sees rich people putting money in the offering. And he sees a widow. He focuses in on a widow who puts 2 copper coins in the plate. And he said, that woman has given everything. I bless her. He praised her extravagance. And so this, in its literary place in the book of Luke, is where our gospel text for today comes. When everyone is standing around the temple, talking about how beautiful it is, Jesus reminds them again, everything we build with our own hands is going to crumble someday. People will die. But God is forever. Remember the things I did. Remember the things I taught you to do. Remember the people I told you to remember. And keep your head up. Because God is with you. Some things are eternal, some things are not. Jesus is eternal. And his command is simple. Love God. Love neighbor. And don't get entrapped by the Pharisees. So as he said, when you hear about disasters and natural disasters and war and famine, and I guess every year when I come to this season in November where we think about end times, I think, oh, could there be any more? This year, it's the typhoon in the Philippines that's left tens of thousands dead, that's left more than 1 million homeless. We don't even count the thirsty and the hungry and the injured. Can it be any worse? Jesus said, when you see these things, know that I'm with you. And that's not a single symbol of the end, but I'm with you. And when human environmental disasters come, like the nuclear mess in Fukushima, Japan, it's still not the end. But I am with you. And when there is war, and there is so much war, that's not the end. And it's not the solution. God is the solution. And is with us. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts from being fearful. Fill our hearts with love. and keep our hearts in Christ Jesus, who was, who is, and who is to come. Amen.